Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Despite our alleged social media and the amount of time we spend connecting with, quote, friends, unquote, the reality seems to be that we are more lonely, isolated, and separated than ever. Suicides are up. Mass shootings are up. We are more lonely than ever, less connected one to another than ever. And I think those things are quite connected. We are designed by God to need human connection, not mediated through a screen and a computer, but face to face, warm human touch, time spent together with others. There is no digital substitute for time with one another. People talk about quality time. You know, we'll sit and watch our TV and do all those things, and then we'll have a little quality time together. It's a lie. There is no such thing as quality time without quantity time. That quality time only arises when we have invested time with one another. In fact, I would argue that even the rise in cancers and other kinds of diseases can be attributed to our loneliness, our isolation. It certainly contributes to the divisiveness and vitriol of our current political state. Now, this all should create a wonderful opportunity for the church, shouldn't it? The Christian faith is at its heart a community faith. It is not at the center me and my Jesus. It is at the center we as the body of Christ. Yes, we each make an individual commitment to Christ, but we live that out. We learn to understand that. We walk it in community, not alone, not isolated. I would submit to you that you and I each need the community of the church. And I don't mean that just because we're trying to follow a bunch of rules and we need a little encouragement and support along the way. That's a Weight Watcher meeting. No, what we need is community. People with whom we share our lives. People with whom we share the things that are important to us. It doesn't mean that we all have the same things. It means that we share them together. We don't each have to have the same understanding. We don't each have to have exactly the same priority. We don't each have to have the same taste in music. But we do it together, even though it's messy sometimes. And we build that community. Jesus calls us into a community. In fact, I would argue he came to create a community. What was the first thing he did? He gathered a group of disciples to create community. This is not something that even Jesus did alone. He went to John to be baptized in the center of the community. And that was what launched his public ministry. It is Jesus' baptism that in many ways sets the stage for what is to come, for that move into that much more challenging public phase of his ministry. Now, he was already a child of Israel. His mother was Jewish, and that's what made him Jewish. Actually, the father didn't really matter. If you were born of a Jewish mother, then you're Jewish. That's still the understanding today. He was the fulfillment of many prophecies, including, I would note, the most important contemporary prophet, John the Baptist. And Jesus comes to him for baptism. And I think quite naturally, John felt unworthy. "Lord, I need to be baptized by you," he said. I get it. I can still remember early on in my ordained ministry, I had to get used to preaching and celebrating communion with a bishop out in the congregation. There was a retired bishop who was a member of the first church that I served, and he would often be out in the congregation. And it was a little weird for me. Because, you know, you're the bishop. You should be up here. I had the same thing when my dad started coming to the same church. I had been in ministry for many years before my dad was a regular part of my worshiping congregation. But it was a little strange to me, because I was used to listening to him preach. But John had to learn to accept this is what is right. Because in the community of the church, it's not about rank. It's about community. It's about what we share together, what we do together, how we work together. And then there's just a stunning thing, because Jesus' justification to John that he needed to be baptized was that we must fulfill all righteousness. Now, Jesus was already a child of Israel. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was, in addition to that, a fulfillment of prophecy and the sinless one. What more righteousness did Jesus need? The baptism of John was not required. The synagogue didn't require it. The temple didn't require it. The Jewish law and teaching of the day didn't require it. So what was the righteousness that was being fulfilled? I think the righteousness is community. Jesus identifies with us. Jesus does not stand apart from us, hoping to pass on a few rules and hope we do okay. Instead, Jesus comes to be with us, to enter into community, to enter into relationship with us. Jesus made it clear in choosing to be baptized by John that he was a part of the community, fully and completely, not separate, not distinct, not different. And if Jesus needed to be a part of the community, even though it was sometimes a mess, how much more do we need it? How much more do we each need to be a part of that community? He was committed to his community. Are we committed to our community? Now notice some things about that. The call to be in community is not a call to like everything. That's just not part of the deal. There's no expectation of that. There's no assumption that to be a part of the community, I have to agree with everybody or agree with everything that's done. It doesn't mean that we have to have the same taste in music or the same taste in liturgy or the same needs in terms of the struggles of our lives out there. What we are called to do is to share those things together across those differences. That's how we build community. That's how we share in community. I've used the example before, but it just speaks so well, I have to do it again. My grandfather, my mother's father, was a rock hound. and they spent every winter out in New Mexico. They had an Airstream trailer, you know, those shiny metal ones with the rounded ends, and they would drive out to New Mexico every winter, and they spent their time collecting rocks. And they would come back with all these boxes of rocks that didn't look like anything special at all, just a bunch of rocks. And then he had saws and so forth, but the ones I remember was he had these tumblers, and he would throw all the rocks in these tumblers, and then he would just tumble them for days, 2, 3, 4 days, sometimes a week or more. And they would tumble and tumble and tumble, and over time, the rough edges would get knocked off. And over time, they would polish each other. And the beauty that was inside would begin to show. And you could see the wonder of what God had created in these various rocks. The wonder that it took a special vision to see when they're just laying on the ground. You know what? We all have some rough edges. We all got some rough edges that need to be knocked off so that we can all see the beauty that is shared. And guess what? As you're getting your rough edges knocked off, you're also a part of knocking off the rough edges of the others. We do it in community. We do it together. Not because we're all alike. If it was just a tumbler full of marbles, nothing would ever change. They're all perfect and they're all round and they all look just right and they'd all just roll, roll, roll forever. It's the rough edges, it's the unevenness, it's the imperfections that make it work and that bring out that beauty from within. And so we work to serve our community. Not because we're all the same, or because we're all easy and comfortable and convenient, but because we're part of the same community. Just like family. You know, we're not together because we're always all the same or like the same things or have the same tastes. Because we're family. And so we work together here in the parish, in the life of the diocese, in the broader Christian community across the denominations, not because we think we have the answer that's going to fix it, not because we think we know exactly how it's supposed to be done, but because it's our community, it's our place, and this is where God creates that righteousness within each one of us. And that means that it's no longer about what I get out of it. Do you know how often I hear somebody talk about going out and looking for a new church because, oh, I just wasn't being fed there? Or, this one's even worse, well, you know, the service times weren't convenient for me. Or whatever excuse people have. We are called to be in community, to work and serve together. I don't think this modern notion that I have to go out and find the perfect church for me is a very godly thing. That's like saying I want to just put a bunch of marbles in the tumbler that are all exactly the same. It's the fact that we're different that makes it work. It's the fact that we sometimes are challenging to each other and difficult to each other that makes it possible for us to be moved and made into the people God intends for us to be. And that means that each one of us has to work at it. Each one of us has to keep at it. Each one of us has to show up. You know, they say 90% of life is showing up. Well, that's true. You got to show up. Because if you don't show up, it don't mean nothing. To be a Christian doesn't just mean me and Jesus. Yes, there are personal and private elements to our faith. Yes, I have a relationship with God that nobody else will ever see or know, even those closest to me. and you have a relationship with God that nobody else will ever 100% see or understand. And yes, to be part of that community begins the thing that we hold in common, the one and only thing we hold in common, is that each of us is striving to be in that relationship with Jesus and to follow Him in our lives. Everything else might be different, but that's the one thing that is in common for this community. And that means a personal commitment, but it means my commitment to God and my commitment to my community. That's why I'm thankful to be here. And it's a wonderful gift that God gives us, because we're not alone. He doesn't just give us a rule book and send us out into the woods hoping we can figure it out. He places us in community so that we can learn what it is to love and care for one another. We can learn what it is to serve one another. We can learn what it is to share the joys and challenges and difficulties and sorrows and victories of our lives. And in so doing, be formed and shaped into the people that He intends for us to be. Being a part of community was essential to Jesus' life. It must be essential to ours as well. Amen.